Morning, everyone. Today's reading is from John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. So read on the screen or follow along in your own Bible if you've got it. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Well, good morning, everyone. Great to have you here. Please have your Bible and talk outline ready. Let me lead us in prayer, and then we will explore God's Word together. Father God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would take these words of life and truth that we hear with our ears and move them deep into our hearts and minds, so we can live as your people following your way. Amen. We are almost at the end of our I Am series, and it's taken us on quite a journey. If you remember back to the start of the year, we began with the burning bush with Moses, or the non-burning bush, I should say, with Moses, learning that God is knowable and he comes close to us. But we also learn that God is transcendent and holy, and he defines himself as I Am. That's this God of energy, of self-existence, needing nothing to sustain him. And then this moment is picked up by the Christ, who begins to do and say things that can only be true of this God. And we learned through seven I Am statements that Jesus meets our greatest longings with himself. Bread, light, gate, shepherd, resurrection, way, and vine. And the uniting theme across all of these statements is how Jesus speaks of the Father when he gives one of the I Ams. That is, showing to know him is to know God, the God from the non-burning bush. But we also explored some other characteristics of Jesus too. In other key moments, think back to calming the storm or the foot washing or the invitation to come and see him. And today, as we near the end of John's gospel, we get to explore Thomas, who confesses that Jesus is his I Am. But as Stephen pointed out in the All Ages talk, even after spending years and years with Jesus, Thomas still had to wade through doubt and disbelief, especially about the resurrection, to understand this claim. Now, I would say that most of us have probably experienced doubt in some form in our life. You might look at the church or other Christians and think, well, if that's what following Jesus looks like, I'm not really sure about this. You might ask God to prove if he's real. If you're real, do this, God. Sometimes doubt is more quiet and personable. I want to believe, but I'm just struggling to put the pieces together. I'm a bit shaky. And that's the kind of doubt that we find Thomas in. Thomas looks at the claims of his friends that Jesus is alive, and it's like he's saying, "Guys, I would love to believe, but don't get my hopes up. It's too painful. People just don't rise from the dead." Timothy Keller, commenting on Thomas, he says, Thomas would have been one of those sensory people on the Myers-Briggs test. You know, those people that pay attention to physical reacts and facts and hard evidence. That's Thomas. And Thomas has millions of descendants today. Maybe you know the feeling. Maybe you're in a season of life and struggling to understand, what does trusting God actually look like? And this is why Thomas is so helpful. Thomas, in his doubts, it didn't push him away from Jesus, but it helped him lead him closer to Jesus. And today, we meet a Jesus who does not dismiss doubters, but invites and speaks to them. And that's really the big idea. Jesus meets our doubts so that we can confess him as our Lord. Jesus is really interested in giving us confidence in who he is. So let's walk through Thomas and then make some comments about what does it mean for us today in all of our doubt and uncertainty. Begins in the first in verse 24 to 25 here. It says, now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the others told him, we've seen the Lord. But he said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. At this point, the resurrection has happened and many, many people have seen the risen Jesus. But for some reason, Thomas was not there in verse 19 when the other disciples saw him. We don't know why. He'd missed it. But his friends tell him this most magnificent news, right? We've seen the Lord. And Thomas, he does not believe them at all. He wants proof and he wants evidence. You know, first century people were not more convinced about someone rising from the dead than 21st century people. I remember we had some people for dinner one night many years ago and we're washing up and two of us got chatting. And he said to me, he's not a Christian, he said to me, so you believe that Jesus really came back to life? And I said, yeah, the resurrection shows what Jesus did on the cross worked and that we have a real life resurrection to look forward to as well. And my friend replied, and such a great comment, he says, I get that his dying might have benefits for you, but people don't come back to life. That's impossible. Yeah, that's Thomas. That's my friend all those years apart. But we're unsure in other ways too, and we weigh up the evidence. When you hear claims and facts, you think about the reputation of the person telling you, your prior knowledge, the source, if you have a frame of reference. Who here has not ever heard a fact and then gone to Google just to see more information about it? Now, Thomas shows us in these moments, faith is not always straightforward. Jesus has to work through a zoo of unbelief and doubts in each of us at times. And in fact, it goes on for about a week. Imagine how Thomas felt. 7 or 8 days, all the other disciples saying, we saw Jesus. Thomas is going, but I didn't. Imagine what he's thinking and going through. But into that, Jesus is not unawares. Look at verse 26 and 27. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. So it's a repeat, but things are different. Why are they different? Because Thomas is with them. I imagine him never wanting to leave the other 11 or 10 at this point, just in case Jesus showed up. I'm not missing this again, but the doors are locked. They're afraid. They're afraid of the Jewish leaders at this point. And it's not until the Holy Spirit comes that gives them boldness to burst out from their little meeting rooms. But the resurrected Jesus, he's not held back by a locked door or by a doubting mind. He can walk through doors, he can hear conversations when he's not there, since he belongs as a resurrected Jesus to both God's space and ours. He's part of the new created order. And the first thing he says is peace. This has the benefit of injecting them with confidence in the middle of fear, as in that you'd be pretty shocked if Jesus just popped up in the middle of the room, reminding him too, it's really me. But the peace of God arrives in Jesus. Wholeness, fullness, a life back in order with God. This is what Jesus is giving them as the resurrected one. And then he turns to Thomas, whose his mouth's probably on the floor by now, and invites him and says, just like you wanted, you touch, see. But we have no indication that Thomas actually needed to do that. what Thomas saw was not just the wounds of Jesus, but he heard and saw how it all applied to him in that moment. He didn't just see Jesus. He saw the Jesus who claimed who he was, that the new creation has come about in the resurrection, that his hopes can be met, that Jesus heard his doubts, and standing in front of him was all the evidence he needed, and that led him to one of the greatest confessions in the whole of the New Testament. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Now, of course, those words coming from the lips of Thomas are very unique and would be used to refer to their covenant, loyal God who is faithful and true from the non-burning bush. This is the language of speaking to the I Am, and Thomas is saying Jesus is the I Am, but he's not just over there, but he's my I Am and my Lord and my God. I remember reading the Bible with a non-Christian when I was a youth pastor, and they were very much like Thomas, and we had, actually you can get it at the front, it's the Essential Jesus, and every week we'd meet, they put sticky notes in a couple of chapters, and the whole book was just littered with sticky notes as they had questions, and they would open it up, and they would say, "All right, Luke, what about this verse, what about that?" And then we'd just go through and peel sticky notes off week after week and get through Luke's account of Jesus. And as we got further along, they were wrestling and thinking with who Jesus claimed he was. But one day we sat down and there was no more sticky notes in the reading. And they said to me, "I didn't put sticky notes in this week. Not because I don't have questions. I still have heaps. But I realized that Jesus is my Lord and my God. And that's what I know. And I'll keep exploring from that angle now." And so all this wrestling, all this uncertainty, and they just, they understood Jesus as their Lord and God in the middle of all the questions. But that's exactly what happened to Thomas. Jesus became real to him and for him. He saw that Jesus had died to defeat sin and death. He saw the new creation life standing in front of him in the resurrection. He saw Jesus coming to give confidence in his doubts for who he is and what he has done. And who hasn't said, "I wish Jesus would do that to me, to stand physically next to me"? So what about those who would believe in Jesus after Thomas, without seeing him? How does the risen Jesus meet you and me and our friends and family today? Look at verse 29. Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you've believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." And then John, the author of this gospel, goes on to say, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Thomas was one of the original OG 11 disciples and one of the few people who ever gazed upon Jesus in the flesh after the resurrection. And Thomas is unique in the simple fact that Jesus is making sure every single one of those 11 disciples whom the message of the resurrection and his death have been lived and gone out with them for the last 3 years, he wants to make sure all of them have seen him physically, personally, so that we can hear their testimony and then believe. That's what Jesus wants us to see. And since this moment with Thomas, millions upon millions of people have believed that Jesus is their Lord and their God without seeing like Thomas did. In Romans 10:17, Paul picks up on that and he says, "Faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ." And John, even his writings, all the sayings, all the I Am sayings, all the miracles and signs that he's written down for you and me are handpicked as God's Spirit directed him, so that long, long after Thomas, you and me would hear and have confidence and clarity on who Jesus is, and that by believing, we would have life in his name. You see, the assurance that Jesus gives is that anyone who believes without seeing is blessed. Blessed does in fact mean happy and joyful, and that's certainly very true, right? Happy are those who believe. But it's more than just a moment of happiness. It's a state of divine favor. And also, it's not that we won't see Jesus. It's just that we don't see him yet. right now we have the blessing of deep assurance that the very same faith Thomas had, the certainty that we will one day see Jesus face to face. Peter, writing to scattered Christians later on, says, and he was in that room, and he says, you've not seen him, 1 Peter 1 verse 8, but you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. That is what it means to be blessed. And then he says, for you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. That's an ongoing thing. And so Thomas saw him, we will see him one day. And until then, Jesus meets our doubts through his consistent, reliable, present, never-changing word and spirit, so we can continually confess him as Lord and God through hearing their testimony. So, where does that leave you and me today? Well, two thoughts. First is doubting like Thomas. Notice that Jesus has not dismissed Thomas. Maybe well-meaning Christian people have dismissed you or misunderstood your questions that you've had. And I'm so sorry. I know that not every question can have a neat answer, but it really is unhelpful if no one sits down to listen to your thoughts and concerns. But Jesus, we meet the Jesus here who invites us to do that. And he wants to give us confidence too. Notice how he speaks. He's not severely rebuked. He says, stop believing and believe. He's invited to explore, and Jesus wants to fill him with certainty. I mean, Christianity makes incredible life-changing claims. We're claiming that something very unique has happened and broken into our world when God became a human, that this man, Jesus, who was also God, died for our sin, rose to new life, and that the way he's announcing life with God and for our world can seem very strange. Our entire way of living, how we view wealth and power and humility and success is being turned upside down and on its head, and we have a hope in the resurrection to come. And that's a big mouthful to think through and can take a bit of time to work through, to wade through the doubt and the disbelief. Take comfort that it took 7 days from when the disciples spoke to Thomas, Thomas was confronted with the resurrection of Jesus, to when he saw him and believed. Now, I know some of you have got friends and family who you've been speaking about Jesus with for longer than 7 days, and they still haven't yet believed. Belief can feel tedious and slow, but Jesus is within earshot, as we saw, in every conversation, and he's making time to do what he wants in the people that we know and love. Because after all, Jesus loves you and your children and your friends and your workmates far more than what you do. So keep speaking and praying to your ever-present loving God. Keep wrestling with who Jesus is. But more than that, I think a lot of us here probably are still doubting like Thomas. As in, sometimes Christianity can be presented as a preference rather than a truth. But what we've seen is, in each of the I Ams, and the Jesus who Thomas meets is someone who understands the world and reality better than anyone else. As in, we can know reliable things about God because of the evidence and clarity Jesus gives us. Jesus repeatedly said, people can know the truth about God and life with God, and we can learn from Jesus and his way and what it means to live in the reality of life with this God. But I know that we still wrestle with doubt at times. I know that often for me, in a new season of life, there is lots of uncertainty that can come about, and you can begin to say, in the overwhelmingness, is Jesus present? Does he care? Is the resurrection way of life really going to cut it at the moment? I think back to when our youngest daughter had many health challenges, not knowing what would happen to her, to how we find a home every few years, to how to navigate jobs and family life. It can feel very overwhelming. And then just when you have a sense of peace and certainty, a new season comes about, and then we begin to doubt God's rule and presence and control all over again, don't we? But you know, into this myriad of challenges that you and me face, the scriptures keep teaching us one thing. Not many different answers to adversity, but one answer to adversity. And it's exactly what Thomas confessed. Jesus is Lord and Savior. In Jesus, the new created order is beginning. The peace of God is here. Hope in what's to come is real. And you get to follow and live His way of life and truth. And as every new season comes, we continually get to learn once again to trust our good, kind, gracious God of all truth, giving Him doubts and insecurities and uncertainties. We can ask God to remind us of who He is so we can confidently face today with my Lord and my God. And maybe you need to hear that today in the season that you're in and reflect on that over our one thing. But I also wonder, notice the disciples told Thomas. Who do you know that needs that reminder as well? Maybe your one thing can be thinking about someone else in your life who needs that encouragement, who needs a verse of scripture, who is, you know, is feeling shaky and doubtful in their current season and needs the reminder that Jesus is their Lord and God. Well, why not make a note and encourage them in this week with the same truth that the disciples told Thomas? Because that is a wonderful way to lovingly serve those we know as the body of Christ. Thomas confessed, Jesus is my Lord and God, and I do hope you can do that today as well. But you'd also have a shot of confidence in that God that we follow as the people of God as well.